We are sitting next to someone who has been in this industry
30 plus years.
She has graced our screens and our big screens many different ways. But the reason I love her is because she is the OG of the most glassy skin ever. She started the trend back in 1997.
You were setting me up to say, stop talking about yourself, babe. And then when you went glassy skin, she fucked it up. Like, 30 years, she's been on our television screens and our movie theater. I'm like, stop talking about yourself. But no, it's clearly not Raven Simone.
No, it's not me. It's Megan Good. Megan, you are the OG of glass skin.
Thank you.
You know this.
Thank you. I didn't know that. I'll take it, though.
Oh, we're crowning her today.
Oh, I'm crowning you. We can go back in. We got receipts.
Well, thank you.
Of just face flawless, skin flawless since the moment I met you when I was, what, 7 years old?
Yeah. Hang with Mr. Cooper days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was going to be my first question to you guys.
Continue.
How long have you two known one another? When did you first meet? Do you remember?
Well, she was seven. It was hanging with Mr. Cooper. Yeah. My cousin Robbie Countryman, was he first AD?
Robbie Countryman is your cousin?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's first AD. That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was first AD. And when I came down, I would come and visit him. And yeah, and then that's when we met. And then we met Marquise and Mark and Holly and the whole bang bang. And
you guys were a little like group, right?
There was a group at that time. And then she moved on and actually, let's go back even before Hang with Mr. Cooper, because Megan was on Friday.
Yeah.
You guys, let's just, I know we have to go old school for some seconds, but like, yeah, you are back, babe. Iconic.
Thank you.
Within the industry that we are of child stars into adult world, you have done such amazing things. And let me tell you what I like about it. You do it under, I mean, no, I'm just being 100.
Don't try and say no, because she's going to tell you what it is.
What I like about it, and please hear me when I say this, you keep pushing forward without splashes that take away the consistency of you, right? There's some people that are in the industry that come in, do a big piece, and then you're like, where'd they go? Oh, now they're coming back. Oh, ooh, too much. Go away. You never do that. You are always consistent. The things that you do are culture shifting at every point in time. Mm-hmm. And like, kudos to you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, like my cousin Skeeter really shifted my culture. Just gonna say
it shifted mine too.
And I love the fact I was thinking about again these parallels that you two have. So. You both are child actors. You've known each other for a really long time. I had crushes on both of them at one time. And they both worked with Ron Beltran.
Wait, don't touch her! I totally had a crush on her. You did?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, she's beautiful. I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't, like, talk about it a lot. But no, totally. I was like, my cousin Skeeter.
Really? Mm-hmm. Let me find out. So, yeah, we have the same TV dad.
Yeah, you guys have the same TV dad.
Yeah, Ron sisters. Mr. Sheridan.
Oh, Mr. Sheridan, we got to get him on the podcast.
Yeah, he's great.
How was that
time for you?
Oh, you know, it's interesting because someone asked me the other day what was the most, like, thing that I've done in my entire career that was the most, I don't know what the word would be, but just life-shifting, I guess, two words. And it has been Cousin Skeeter, you know, in a lot of ways because I had just came off of doing Eve's Bayou. I was like looking for the next job. I knew I would love to be in the Nickelodeon, Disney World. And with Cousin Skeeter, it was an opportunity for me to still be a kid. And at the time when I did the pilot, I was 15. By the time I finished the show, I was 19. And you know, it was just me and Robert Rashad, like two kids. And it was really annoying because like I was in pre-algebra and he was like in calculus, but I was like 3 years older than him and like all of that stuff. But, you know, it became a family. So even though it was interesting because I had ran into Terrence Howard at the time he was on Sparks. And he said to me, you know, when you finish the show, he was like, go do film. You know, don't settle down and do TV again until you're married or you have kids or you just want some more
stability.
You want to know where you're going to be, the character you're going to play, where you go to work, you know, all those things. And so at that time, I started feeling a little bit stuck after that. But when the show did wrap up, I realized how it was such, that was my childhood. That was my teenagehood. You know, that was my high school. That was my college, you know? And
it's
so
wild.
So much of that is such a big part of who I am, which is why I'll forever love Robert, you know? And no, we did not hook up or anything like that. But that's my brother.
Robert.
You know?
Sit down, Robert.
No, he didn't say that. But I'm just saying. I know. You say that, you're like, oh, it's just two kids. People are like, but did I?
Yeah,
no.
Of course. People always want to know who she hooked up with.
Right.
Tell.
No, I'm not. This is her episode, not mine. You're right. Okay, yeah. So she was like, nah, I'm not going on TV. I'm too big of a star for that. Moving forward.
No.
No, I'm just playing. Let's talk about movies.
Yeah.
What does Will Ferrell smell like?
Acorns and cookies and cream. No, I'm just
acorns. I thought you were going to say panther piss. And then I was
like, so accurate. I was like, that's like, he looks like he would smell like that.
You know what's fun is what the craziest thing about that is, me and my sister were such huge Anchorman fans, we could quote literally every single thing. I'm dying in a glass case of emotions and all of that stuff. And then I saw a trailer while I was sitting in the movie theater for them getting ready to shoot part two, and it wasn't done yet. It was just like a teaser trailer, like, we're getting ready to shoot this movie. And I was like, my God, I would love to be in that. Like, I would just love to be in that. And then I was on the show Deception that I was filming, and my castmate, Catherine Lanasa, was in The Legend of Ricky Bobby can do, like, an incredible impression of Will. Mm. And so I did my audition tape in between scenes on that set in my trailer. Her husband, Grant Show, you know, recorded it. She did the Will impression.
Oh, my God.
And then I ended up getting a call to go there and test with Will, and I just heard of all these names that were in the mix, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna kick his ass in this audition. Mm-hmm. I'm literally gonna kick his ass. And so that's what I did. I took off my shoe, I beat him with my shoe, I grabbed his hair, I pushed him against the wall. I mean, I just fucking went for it. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna go balls to the wall and we'll see what happens. And then I got the job and I was like, what? I was like, I got the job. They were like, Will loved it.
So speaking of being jumped / jumping Will Ferrell. Oh my God. I did hear that.
Been there too.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to tell you that later. No. Oh, tell me. I heard
you were jumped?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was wondering if you were in that crew, which clearly she wasn't.
No, she wasn't. I was like 19.
Oh.
And I had just come out of a screening, and some girls were giving me dirty looks, and there was about 5 of them. And my friends were kind of piling into the bathroom, and I was standing outside, and I was like, oh, whatever. And then they started like talking about me, and I was like, okay. And then at a certain point, I just started singing Trina. I was like, y'all know I'm the baddest bitch.
Oh, hilarious. Bad.
And they were like, are you saying that you're the baddest? I said, no, you just said that. I was like, I was singing a song. And they were like, oh, you think you're this because you're on that show and stuff? I was like,
exactly.
No, I don't actually think that I'm this because I'm on that show, but I think that you think that I'm this because I'm on that show, because you're very upset and I'm not upset at all. And then they were like, well, let's go outside and did it. I was like, but I don't want to go outside. And they were like, because we need to. I was like, no, I think I'm good, you know? And then at a certain point, all 5 of them jumped on me at once. First of all, one stood in front of me and started talking to me crazy. And I was like, oh, please, God, I don't want to. I think I'm going to punch her in the face. Please help me not to. And as I'm talking to her, I could feel us getting closer and the tension rising. Another girl from behind her sucker punches me from behind her. And then it becomes like an all-out brawl.
Where are your friends? In the bathroom.
Well, so here's what happens. So when I realize they're like tearing my shirt, tore my necklace off, like, I'm like, okay, there's
really
no way.
Fighting.
Oh, yeah. I was like, there's no way I can fight all 5 of these girls. So I had at the time, remember back in the day when those big old clunky boots that we used to all wear with just, they were like the Jeffrey Campbells before
Yes, I do.
So I was like, all right. So I just laid down on the ground and I just started kicking people in their stomach anytime they came next to me.
This is what I love about Megan. When she wants something, she takes her shoes off and goes for it. Auditions.
This is
beating bitches' ass.
She kept them on. She kept them on. She was fighting.
She's like, I'm gonna go shoot first.
I did. That was the time that I kept them on, but that's when they really came in handy. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to fend them off until my friends came out of the bathroom. Next thing you know, I just see people who I've never seen fighting before, swinging people against the wall. I mean, all kinds of crazy.
Oh my God.
And then to make it short but long, after it was over, security came, they broke it up, and I was just like, God bless you. God bless you. I was like, this ain't even about me. God bless you. Then I got home and I was praying and I was like, Lord, this person put their hands on me. And I didn't do anything to cause this. Now, yes, I aggravated the situation, but they had already gone there. And all they needed was a reason.
Wow. Yeah. It's also funny.
I have a lot of random stories like that. I've been robbed in Europe and all kinds of stuff.
I have a question, Megan. If we looked in your phone right now.
Yes.
Who was the last text you sent?
Oh, I like that question. I was going
to
go...
It was to me. She was probably like, I'm here, I think, dot, dot, dot.
You guys know we live in the hood.
That was a call, actually. Yeah.
You're right.
If we looked in your phone right now and you needed advice from someone...
Yeah.
That wasn't your mom, that wasn't your sister, who would it be?
Oh, that just made me sad for 2 seconds. Aww, it's not the same thing at all, but I just lost my godfather. And that was like my person that I asked advice for everything. So it would have been him. But who would I reach out to? Probably his wife, who's like my godmom's sister and very much one of my best friends, Monique Brown. Or Tasha Smith. Or Keely Bembry, who's one of my best friends. Amy, who's been my best friend for
forever.
28, almost 30 years now. 28, not, ooh, like 30 something years. Anyways, wow. I got a few good, amazing people. Dijon, I've been blessed to have a pretty incredible clan. And then, you know, even though I won't talk much about my boo, he's very, very, very good at giving advice.
Did you ever go to public school, or were you always in like set school?
Always public school up until Cousin Skeeter got picked up. So 10th grade, I went to homeschool and finished the last 3 years.
I asked that because Megan has that personality of always having people, like friends. You know how to make friends. You know, so like us, we'd be sitting in the house by ourselves looking for people. We're true lesbians. We'd be like, we're just going to go in our house.
Just be friends together. That's fine. We have dogs, we have moms, we have sisters. That's it.
But sometimes that's better, though, because it really is about quality, not quantity. Yes, and I can't tell you how many very, very close friends that I thought were forever life friends that I don't talk to anymore that really like caught me off guard and kind of broke my heart at that time. But, you know, I mean, I'm just a positive thinker. I'm like, well, look, we had each other for that time. We had an incredible time. Mm-hmm. We got, and it is what it is. It ended how it ended, but I wish the best for them. And that's
Reasons and seasons, right?
And life is just full of them.
That is very true. But we could get better at the friendship thing.
I don't know. Maybe we can be friends now.
Yeah.
I mean, Megan. You guys have already been friends.
I like Megan. But I don't like a lot of people. She knows me. I know. Megan, what was I like when I was a kid? Was I a bitch?
Tell us, Megan.
You're not going to hurt my feelings.
No, I don't think you were a bitch. I think that you were very selective about who you gave your energy to.
Still is.
You don't like nonsense.
Sure. Still
doesn't. You don't like BS. You don't have patience for people like any type of fakeness or anything. You just were very honest. And unfortunately, when people are honest, people take it as bitchiness just because people have a standard of like, I'm not going to subject myself to that.
Yeah.
And I think also when you grow up in this business, and I'm sure it's also just personality and heart as well, but also when you grow up in this business, you've already lived so many decades already and so many lifetimes already, even at a young age, that people in their 60s get to a point of like, I just don't have to deal with this.
Yeah.
I've lived too long for this bullshit.
Yeah.
You've lived that twice over and every time. So to be able to get there, you know, the biggest thing is just making sure that our heart is intact, because it usually takes disappointment before we discover like, I'm not settling for that anymore.
Yeah.
And so just being able to balance the disappointment so that it doesn't hurt us, but then we just still have our boundaries. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't think you were bitchy. I just think you were just very honest, and people, especially people in LA, especially people in the industry, you know what I'm saying? It's just like,
yeah. I knew I was always given side eye.
But I love that you didn't really care like that.
I give no fucks. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a risk taker?
No.
Yes.
You want to take a risk right now and put your hand in this teapot and tell us what we're talking about?
All right. I was actually scared for a second there, but I was like, I can't go back now.
You can't go back.
I'm a Leo. I have to be aggressive.
I'm a Leo too.
I know. August 8th.
Oh, yeah.
I just had
the
it.
6th.
Yeah. We just talked about this at the event.
Yeah, at the thing.
But it was also like months ago. Okay.
Fair. What are we talking about?
Self-care.
Self-care.
Amen.
There's so many different kinds of self-care.
Amen.
There's emotional self-care. There's physical self-care. There's skincare self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your self-care.
Well, I like to incorporate all three. For me, it's just, you know, taking time for myself. And I do a lot of praying, a lot of listening to things that are inspirational, that lift me up. I just started journaling in the past 2 years, like really journaling. I used to journal with like, what if someone reads this? Now I journal with, I really don't care if you do, you know, hopefully you don't, but And then, you know, working out consistently. I work out like 5 days a week just because, you know, I just turned 43 and I'm like, all right, it's about time to be serious about this. And also I want to have kids. So I just want to be in the best health that I can be in and make sure that when I do have kids, you know, if I am 63 with an 18-year-old or 20-year-old, that I have the stamina and energy to run around with them and do things. And what else? What else do I do? I sleep. I don't make any qualms about the sleep that I need to get when I need to get it. And I also just like shut down and say, no, I'm just going to stay in the house. I'm just going to watch my little show. I'm just going to do my little thing. Yeah, I just try to take care of just like my mental, my heart, my spiritual, my physical. And then skin wise, look, I'm getting my little Morpheus 8. I'm not playing these games.
Ouch, ouch. But
it hurts a lot.
Wait, you have to tell everyone what Morpheus 8 is. I have no idea what you're talking about. For those who don't know,
like me.
Yeah.
So Morpheus 8, which is so funny because I obviously haven't had children, but to me, it's the same sentiment where every time you finish it, you're like, I'm never doing that again. And then you're back like 4 months later. But basically, it's like a machine that tightens your skin. It has like little needles in it. So it's like
micro-needling and radio frequency.
And radio frequency. And then there's something else, like a laser or something.
It's heat. So it creates, it's a hot pulse, which is the laser. Mm-hmm. So it's like a red laser that then has the radio frequency, which tightens. And then the micro-needling, which kind of creates a damage to the skin, which then induces collagen.
And it lifts it, yeah.
So you're not only scratching your skin, you're lasering it and tightening. So you're bruising your skin so that it can heal
on
better.
On a deep
and then
level.
Better.
And you're generating collagen to come and tighten and lift.
You know what you could do? You could just wash your face with some Evian water.
No.
You're not going to crack.
No.
That's true, but...
It's preventative.
Yeah, it's preventative for one, because it's not necessarily for everything that could happen right now. It's so that I don't have to work so hard as I get older. And then it's also, you know, just even though we take care of ourselves, you know, we've lived a lot of life and we will live a lot of life. And there's, you know, all kinds of different elements. And I just and then also I like a lot of wine. And so,
yeah.
So all the things. And then what is this other one called? It's called Softwave. Have you heard of that?
Softwave. I have heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
It's incredible.
It's an ultrasound.
It's like an ultrasound, and it gets very, very hot to the point of where you're like, oh, that's too hot.
Yes.
And then it stops. It only goes for like 4 or 5 seconds, but it lifts everything.
So you're telling me that we're going to have to buy another machine?
No, you can't buy this.
You only have to do Softwave twice a year. Yeah.
I'm going to be missing my wife twice a year.
No, I don't know.
Only for an hour.
I don't know if I can do them. Like, I've never done Morpheus. I've never done Softwave. I've never done any of like Protenza because it's another like radio frequency microneedling device.
You know, I'm going to get in the car and look that up immediately.
Then they put like a peptide serum on you after, and it's supposed to be great, but all of those things, they scare me because of the pain.
I can see you out of the corner of my eye like, I'm
dead. No, I don't do that because I can't I'm afraid of the pain. And I don't like when you go, do they put you like on a little cocktail? You take like an anti-anxiety situation?
They'll numb you, but it's like numbing cream, and I'm always like, numb me and then come back 30 minutes later and re-numb me again.
Because I would want all the numbing. I have a friend.
Or laughing gas.
Yeah. I had a friend who said that she got Morpheus 8 done, had the laughing gas, and was in so much pain she was kicking. She was like kicking. Juliana,
well,
she was kicking people.
She obviously talked to Megan first. Shoe first.
Yeah, listen. But the results are worth it because the skin is perfect.
The skin, look, it's worth it. It's painful.
I know.
Yes, but it's so, to me, it's so worth it.
Maybe I'll do it. I don't think I can do it. I think I'd have to be put to sleep. Which is like ridiculous. Which I would have to hire an anesthesia. It's like thousands of dollars. We're not doing it. Don't worry. Creams and lotions.
Thank you. Creams and lotions.
I have a question.
Your skin's incredible too, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, low-key, high-key.
Should I take a picture of the bathroom that I got kicked out of because all of her creams?
No. Can I tell you though that somebody said to me the other day, they were
fantastic.
Like, for a person who's as fair as you are,
and
who's also 37, like you're doing very well because I'm not young. And
I know
that's,
you're beautiful.
37 is young.
Well, you know,
she's beautiful.
But here's my question.
It would work with just water too.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. Don't listen to her. If you look back now, like over your years of life, if you look back over your years of life, can you see how your relationship to your self-care and what equaled self-care has changed?
Well, if we're going to talk about skin, I used to, if there was like a boy I liked and like he slept over, I would definitely wake up with like a lash right here and like a black circle of makeup or something. So I slept in my makeup quite a bit in my 20s. And once I realized that's so horrible for your skin, then I stopped doing that. And then, you know, I used to, for some reason, wear a lot of makeup in my early 20s. And I mean, I would take, you know, I think there's at least two times where you might have walked out where you were like, this bitch is taking way too long on that fucking eyebrows. There's no way in hell. I think that even happened on New Year's.
That is exactly what happened.
That's exactly how that went left.
Only because, Megan, I know, like, honestly, you're so pretty.
Thank you.
And I know you have some makeup on now, but you don't have as much as you used to wear, and you don't need it. But I know at certain age brackets, we think
different.
We think we do. Yeah. And that's the thing now where it's like, I don't even put makeup on my face like that. Like, I put concealer, contour, and a little bit of something in my brows, and I might like hit my cheeks, but there, I will never put face makeup on my entire face ever. I will never put any type of coverage or cover, because for me, my skin started breaking out really, really bad as I got older. And then anytime, you know, when you're on a stint of a show and they do it every single day, it's not like you're doing it once in a while for a carpet or for lunch or for dinner. You're doing it every day, and your skin, as you get older, it just starts to go, no, bitch.
So even when you're working, you'll say no foundation?
At the most, I'll do tinted moisturizer.
Wow.
Like on camera.
Good for you.
Yeah, on camera.
You know what I love about that? Sorry, baby. Let me tell you what I love about that, because when you go to the history of television, I'm sorry, movies, men don't put on shit. Mm-hmm. They have anti-shine powder on their face or powder, and women are the ones that are in the makeup chair for 2 to 3 hours putting on all this stuff to make them look natural, and it's like, because I still put on stuff.
And the thing that I love about that is it's another form of self-care. You're setting a boundary.
Yeah.
You're saying, you're not going to put this makeup on me. Mm-hmm. This is all I want. And that's an important element, I think, of self-care too, and not on like the skin side of things, but
speaking
having
for yourself,
boundaries, exactly,
which was really a process for me, because as a child actor, I was just told, like, do what you're told, wear what they tell you to wear, do, you know, if they want to put your hair like that and you don't like it, just, you know, just don't be a problem, make it easy, don't, you know. And so, and then people would always say, oh my god, you're so sweet, you're so nice, stay like that, honey. And then I go, right, do what I'm told, stay like that, you know. And so all that happens, and then you start getting in your 20s and you have preferences, and you kind of like, excuse me, could we and then I'm like, okay, well, and then my mind, I'm like, I'm just gonna go to my trailer and change it anyways. And then I would, and then people are like, did you change your makeup? And I'm like, well, and then it got to a certain point where I would get nervous that people were going to walk in the room while I was doing my makeup, like, oh, I was God. A child and I'm like 27.
Yeah.
Or just feeling like I'm going to get in trouble or something. And then, you know, talking with DPs on set where I'm like, they're like, well, can you put some powder on your nose? And I'm like, if I do that, then it's going to flatten my face. And my face is not flat. My face has 3D to it. When you flatten it, the way that you're filming it, I mean, when you do that, the way that you're filming it is going to make me look like this. And they're like, but if you, I'm like, no, it's natural and it's dewy. And at the end of the day, I'm the only person who has to live with what I look like on camera for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I've been doing this long enough that I do know what I want to look like, respectfully. You know,
the originator of glass skin on camera. This is what I'm saying.
I feel like that's so important that you found your voice and learned how to fully advocate for yourself, because people do have this fear of like disrupting or disappointing or having to walk on eggshells. And it's such a crucial part of self-care to be able to say respectfully, no, that doesn't work for me. Or this is how I feel most comfortable. This is how I need this to run. And you and I talk about that a lot, because I think Raven was very similar to you in terms
of mental. Was, shit, I still am.
Or still
sometimes.
Is in a lot of ways. And that is something I think that maybe I've helped you with. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but helped you.
But you're going to
with
my wife.
Well, you can correct me, or you can interject.
I? Let's see.
Oh my God.
You're kind of allowed to, just saying.
Where I've been able to say, like, no is a complete sentence. Like, end of story. Like, you don't have to do
that's
something.
A statement. No is a complete sentence.
Yeah, and like, you don't owe anyone anything else if it's something that doesn't make you comfortable or you don't want to do it or you're not.
But what about production and the amount of money they're spending and I want people to like me? And it's like, no, doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't work that way if you don't feel, especially when it comes to something specific like your look. Like, if the character has a specific look, okay, fine, let's talk about it. But if it's more, you know, meaning like she has like a cut on her face, okay, and you're like, I don't want blood. No, shut up, you have to have blood. I had a bullet in my head and I didn't want that.
You knew that was coming. I could feel your energy. But I don't even know if you knew exactly where you were going, because it was a brand new thought. It felt like it was a brand new thought.
It was.
It felt like she knew where you were going. But when you started with it, I mean, if you have a cut on your face and then you're like, like, she's yeah. like, I know what she's about to say.
Megan, let me tell you something about my wife. Let me tell you something right now. So, I love her so much. My wife is very particular about how she looks, okay? When she's Megan, when she's Miranda, everything has to be a certain way. And I was like, okay, get this. So she got a job on a show. Yeah. We're going to talk about it. And I'm a part of the show. And I was like, okay, listen.
Who was in it?
I prepped.
Robert Richard.
He was in there. Yeah. I prepped the makeup team. Yeah. I was like, listen, my wife is coming. She's very particular about what she likes.
Yeah.
Let her do this. Let her do that. Just so that she could be prepared. Because as the star I see her in, you prepare your crew for...
The diva.
Right. So I'm like, okay, everybody, she's coming. Put your eyes to the ground.
Anyway. Oh my God, I'm not Sean Penn. Don't look at her.
No. So anyway, she gets up there. I'm like, and I go check after. I'm like, how was it? They were like, she was great. She let us do anything. I said, huh? Well, yeah, she let us do anything we wanted. We could do anything. I said, who said it? How you get that done? And they said, well, it was for the character. So I went up to her. I said, how come it's easy for these strangers to get you to do something, but I can't get you to do it? She said, it's for the character and the role.
Right.
I grounded myself, and this role requires this. And I said, so you can't do that in person?
It's listen, you're going to relate to this, okay? Because if you have to go out as Megan or I have to go out as Miranda and it's just like a Friday and you're going to an event, let's say.
Yeah.
You're just yourself. Like, you're not going to want to wear an outfit that doesn't feel good. You're not going to wear shoes that like are not giving you the height that you want. Yeah. If you're playing a character who is like works at a grocery store and she wears sneakers that you think make your legs look stocky, you're gonna put them the fuck on because like that's what the character wears, and she's maybe is a little like frumpy and whatever, and it's not
First
you
of all, disrespectful there's to baggers out there, okay? Not every bagger is frumpy.
She worked at the grocery store. I didn't say she was a bagger. I think there was something liberating to me about that experience, but I also understand that like when you maybe are playing a character that's more aligned with your look or has a certain aesthetic that you can also see yourself leaning into, you're gonna want to feel good, because looking back at it would be like
You know, looking at that, I kind of want to talk on something, and you can tell me if you don't want to talk about it or not, but do you consider yourself a sex symbol?
Have you ever been asked that before?
I think in my 20s and in 30s maybe, and maybe in some ways in my 40s, and I don't think it's really about age, I think it's about how we present to the world. And sometimes I feel like a sex symbol, sometimes I feel like a complete nerd, sometimes I feel I think I'm a lot of different things at once. And so in some ways, yes, I think in my 20s I really wanted that, because mainly, I really looked up to Halle Berry growing up, and I wanted so much to be a lot like her. Shout out to another Leo.
Oh,
just surrounded by lions.
And listen, another sex symbol, because
But I think what it was, you know how, that breaking out of being a child actor in any capacity, and people think you're just little old, you know, oh, how old is she now? You know, all of that, and you're like, I'm 28.
Yeah.
You know? And then also if you don't look 28, you know, or all those things. So that was a lot of the motivation was like, how do I get people to see me as an adult? You know, I'm 21 now, and I want to play some things in my 20s. Like, I'm not in a rush. I still don't mind playing 16. I mean, but I think back to stuff like Roll Bounce, you know, I booked that when I was 22. And I was playing 16, and Bow Wow was actually 16. And I remember like going in with like two pigtails and like, you know, getting the role, whatever. And then I got to set, and they were like, okay, here's your outfit. And they gave me like some high-waisted 70s pants and like a little tie-up shirt, and they gave me some lashes, and then I had the things, the bangs. But in my mind, I was thinking about this, how I want to present myself. And then kind of to what you were saying, when I got on set, they were like, yeah, that's not the character. You kind of look 22 right now. We're like, they were like, lose the lashes, untie the shirt, you know, change the bra. Let's get pants that are not quite as tight, you know, all those things. But yeah, so in some ways, yes. In other ways, I mean, I wouldn't say no. I just would say that it's a lot of things at once.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Perfectly. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Interesting. I don't know. It's
Do you consider yourself a sex symbol, babe?
No, not at all. And I think not even close, not even for 2 seconds. But I think it's interesting because, like Raven was saying earlier, and anyone who looks at you knows, like, you're very beautiful.
Thank you.
And people talk about, like, pretty privilege and people's experiences as beautiful, as being beautiful. Like, you are treated differently. And there is, and I also find you to be, like, very grounded and very humble and very down to earth. So I feel comfortable even bringing this up. But I wonder just, why are you doing that?
I don't know. You're showing your arms today. You out here in front of two people you used to have a crush on. I'm just checking to make sure you're good.
It's really hot.
I don't know, Megan.
Wes is going to hate us for this. The editor is going to be like, I fucking hate you guys. This is so hard to track. But I think the point that I was trying to get to with this one, I can't look at my peripheral because you're fucking me up. I don't know. I just guess I wonder. It's such a weird thing because I literally, the question to me is like, what is your experience being as pretty as you are in this
world? I was going to say, do you think it hindered you from taking roles that you wanted to, or did you want to, or do you think you're right?
Both.
Both.
I can't tell you how many times I've walked into something and I had an audition. They were like, she was great, but we don't realistically believe her as this character because she's, you know, a pretty girl and we just don't feel like, and I'm like, how can you determine what that character should look like, or what, or even what I will look like when I, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or like, we've already hired the lead guy. We don't buy that he could get her. Or like, I'm like, how? I'm like, that's doing the character disservice, because that means you're saying that she's just only about the look, you know?
Right, yeah.
Or like, you know, being in conversations with people, and even like you saying that I'm grounded, you're just saying it because that's what you're experiencing. And but a lot of people say that to me with like, I cannot believe you're so, like, as if I was gonna be a bitch. And it's not because they heard something about me, because you could check my record on any set. I have a stellar record for showing up a certain kind of way with complete kindness, all those things. But people look and they assume, you know. And then, you know, you're having a conversation with intellectuals and you say something, people are like, and it's like, almost
did
like
it really
they're saying,
come from her?
Yeah, they're like, oh, I didn't know you were that smart. I didn't know you could hold this kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying? And so the one thing that I will say, where there's no complaints, like at the end of the day, my life has been incredible and I'm thankful for everything exactly as it is, all things included. But what I will say is there have been opportunities where people kind of rush to judgment because they feel that I'm attractive, or because I'm attractive, they're like, oh, well, she can't do this or she can't do that, she probably can't carry a role that's this heavy, or like people just think of her this way, and like that translate is also like this way. So like, and then people meet you and they're like, wait, what, you're a Christian? Really?
Oh,
you know, or like, what, you're this or that, or like, you know, or
you're articulate.
It's sad because the girls that came before you, some of them created that way of thinking for others. You know, when you look back in history, the ditzy pretty girl is the one that got the roles, and then therefore that's what that's supposed to look like,
right?
But then no one actually sat down to have that conversation to even care if they had it. And they knew that if they acted more of a certain way, they would get more roles. So it's a disservice to us in the future. And that's what I love that you're doing now for girls in the future. No matter how pretty you are, no matter how smart you are, make sure everybody knows the full you in all of your spectrums, so that you keep opening doors for beautiful, smart, intelligent, spiritual women that can hold hardcore roles in any aspect. It's up to you and those around you.
I agree. I think, thank you for saying that. I agree that the wonderful thing about is the day and age that we live in, we have more resources to do that, but in the same breath, everything comes with something. If you expose too much of yourself, then people think they know you, so they can't believe you as this character or that character. And so it's like finding the balance, and then also just knowing like, well, what is your purpose? What do you want to contribute? You know, I've always known that like, I want to be an actress and I want to have incredible opportunities. I want to make things that are just good for my quality of life, that hopefully inspire people and make people feel good. But I know more than that, I want to be a good person. I want to use that platform to put good things into the world. I want to be an advocate for women. I want to help younger women to not have to work as hard as we did, you know, the same that those that came before us have. Mm-hmm. I know that what I want to put in the world is has never been about being famous. And also, I don't have a desire to be famous. I don't mind getting through the airport quicker. I will say that.
Raven is also cut the line at the club.
Honey.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't mind the perks, but just as many perks come with it come, you know, the other things as well.
Yeah.
Or the abuses or whatever it may be. But you know, no complaining. It's just what I do know is I feel like it's all about what you want to put into the world, because I think that we're all here to help each other at the end of the day. I want to be a superhero. I want to do artistic activism. I want to do Lucille Ball comedy. Will I throw myself over something, potential hurt myself to make it funny and get it done? Absolutely, 100%. But do I want to do certain things that, to me, what I would accomplish would be probably one of the best careers, best roles of my entire career. Maybe I win an Oscar or some awards or something. And I don't think that's ever been my goal. You know, my goal is just to use my platform for something bigger than myself, do things that feed my heart and my spirit, and hopefully give something good to other people. We also come from a generation where, you know, some folks get to come in and say, I want to craft my career this way. And, you know, they came from having different jobs and they went to school or wherever, you know, whatever their experience is, but they get to get here and make some decisions about how, what they want to do.
Yeah.
We come from a generation where we've been working.
You don't get to do that.
We've been working since we were children.
Yeah.
And we've never had any other job our entire lives. So with that being said, every job that we've had has been in the entertainment business. So a lot of jobs that we chose is because we need to pay our bills and we need to work and we need to move forward and we need to continue on the projection, and not even the projection for fame, the projection to work and live like every other American and pay for their bills. Because people say, oh, well, you may make a lot of money. Well, our generation didn't make as much as we should have.
Yeah.
And even now that things are shifting and you have wonderful people like Tyler Perry who are actually giving us what we're worth and whatever it may be, ultimately there's people who have come behind us who are given certain opportunities that they may not look at us to give, because they're like, well, we know Raven Simone, we know Megan.
Yes.
It's like, no, you don't know all of us.
No.
Let's be real about that. One. And there's so much more to give, especially as we get older and experience life. But beyond that, when people get used to paying you a certain way, then they pay you that way. And then when someone comes in behind you that's maybe 4 years younger than you, has been here for maybe 3 years or something, and they're like, I want this, and they get that. And even if you're on the same film and people know your name, people do not know their name.
I just have to say, everything that you said,
and it's okay.
No, it's not okay, Megan.
Everything you said, you said so eloquently. But this one, I feel like the moment when you knew I was going to talk about my bullet hole, I can feel her, because this is.
It's unacceptable.
There's nothing to say other than period.
I'm jealous of those who get to do that. I'm just flat out jealous. Period. And it's great for them. I'm really happy they're getting another experience. And that's what, you know, moving forward means. And that's what, you know, that's what happens in history. Each year gets a little bit easier. But I just go back to the days when Perez Hilton was out here, when you'd get bullied for weight, when everyone thought I was pregnant with Omarion's baby because I was overweight, because I just broke up with Kay Young and eating a whole bunch and overweight and can't,
people
no one gave a
so
fuck.
Brutal.
And like, when all those things happened and people coming on set, now it's like, I don't want to do that.
What you don't want to do?
And I would say that, and I would get belittled or bullied into doing it because not a lot of Black women have these opportunities. How dare you do this? How dare you do that? And so, and it's also funny because now this generation is, if you don't agree with us, you're bad. And it's like, give me some time to get there.
Right.
Because I'm very bitter.
Yeah.
And I don't pray like you pray. I eat, and there's a difference. But like, there's like,
but there's eat, pray, love.
There's a,
so we got
I
it
love,
covered here at this table.
There we go. Eat, pray, love. Love it. But like, yes, there is this new thing of just like, wow. And I always tell this story, and I'm going to tell it real quick and cut out if you want to, but when I was on The View, Alessia Cara came, and this little girl came on set, not with one stitch of makeup. And I said, hey, girl, how you doing? You gonna make one today? She goes, I don't wear makeup. I was like, but you're on camera. She's like, I don't have to. And no one's telling me. I said, no one's asked you to put on. No one said nothing to you? I literally was absolutely astonished that a 16-year-old had that much power. When 16-year-olds at my time, it's like, you're a kid? You know, and I'm just like, what?
And also, to part of what Megan said earlier, to the point of what you were also encountering, is people had an expectation and an ideal already of who Raven Simone was. And Raven Simone was a very docile, you know, like, fall in line, doesn't make ripples, noise, doesn't disrupt anything type of person. Whereas somebody who maybe came in not as a child, where there wasn't already expectation of what this person was and how they were going to be, but maybe someone who started acting at the age of, let's say, 17, 18, could set a different trajectory for themselves. They're older already. They had more of a voice.
I'm going to stop you right there. Even the kids that come in at 13, they're still telling their parents what to do compared to how we were.
And like, I mean, there's also more to that in terms of parenting.
And upbringing. And sorry, one more thing, because you got me on my topic. One more thing.
You got me on my topic.
The other thing is, as I grew up, making decisions for myself and disrupting the order gave me panic attacks. To where... okay, maybe I shouldn't say this. Hey, is this right? And people are like, just say it. I'm like, and then I would fluster. And they're like, that's a good idea. I'm like, huh?
But that's that is also indicative of how you were raised and why you became an avoidant attachment person. That's because people who are avoidant don't ever have space made for them to know.
I was raised by a narcissist.
Yeah, but they're never given the space to know that their feelings are okay. And that, again,
my feelings were not okay.
No, I know, but that's also why, as an adult, and bringing it back to self-care, I have had the conversation with you so many times where I've just said, you have to say how you feel. Okay, this person is asking this of you, but you're uncomfortable. You're already at 110. Like, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say I can't. And that is taking care of yourself in a really honest admirable way where you can then have peace in yourself.
She's watched me have conversations on the phone to where I'm like saying yes, trying to make things easy. I leave the phone and I'm bawling, and she's like, call them back and say no. I'm like, I don't think I can. The last time I said no, a whole entire production got rolled over. You know what I mean? Like, the programming that one has from our timing, I am unprogrammed,
and the trauma. You know, and it's like people make trauma out to be a dramatic word, but it's really not. And it's like, even once you understand it, you know, thank God you have a partner to like walk you through it and be like, okay, this is the moment, it's happening. I know you know already, but you're doing it because of your programming. Let me help you get there. It'll be okay. And then afterwards, you take that breath. We may cry together or whatever it is, but you know that you're going to be okay, you know? And that's really hard to do because a lot of people don't have the right person in their life to walk them through, to support them, to remind them, even if they're, you know, the person who you don't think needs that. Everybody needs that.
Everybody needs it.
And what you're expressing, I understand that so much, and I can't imagine even more for you because you were a bigger child star at a younger age and a much more. There's never been a child star as big as you besides Shirley Temple and
Olsen Twins,
Macaulay Culkin.
There's none.
There's none.
Black female.
Especially not black female. At your age that's had your longevity in your career. I cannot imagine. I can't.
Well, my therapist can. It's great. It's really fun.
Okay.
Question for everybody.
Oh, I love a question.
What is the one thing that each of us are going to do today to give ourselves a little extra self-care?
I've already had a glass of champagne.
It's 2:00.
It's 3, I think. Maybe.
She's still in London, girl. She's still in London.
Right, okay.
I listen
like 8 a.m.
No.
It's not. It is.
In London.
Oh, in London. We're not in London.
She's still in New York.
Oh yeah. If we're in New York, then that makes it
five.
Exactly. 5, 6, 6.
It's
7 p.m. It's great. What can we do? I'm going to like curl up on the couch and just like shut everything down and probably like watch a good documentary about murder. Because that is relaxing for me, oddly.
That is perfect self-care.
I love that. Yeah. What are you going to do, honey?
I am going to kind of do what you're going to do. I'm going to curl up on the couch once the day is done and just like watch something probably on YouTube or Netflix and just chill.
Chill.
Love that.
Be by the AC. Calm down.
Amen.
Yeah, shut them up.
Stop
shut
sweating. Them off. What are you going to do, babe?
Well, normally I wouldn't wash my face off because I like to sleep in my makeup and wake up the next morning looking bomb. So I guess I save my makeup. I'm gonna wash my ass tonight at some point.
You're gonna take a shower.
I bleached my hair, maybe. I don't know.
Why
I bleached
my hair.
Okay, bleached you bleached my your hair this morning.
Oh, you're me. I just got that.
Okay.
In the relationship. Yeah. I'm
like, Leo's sit together over there. I'm gonna do my cuticles. Moisturize my cuticles. That's been making me real happy lately. And I need to find food. I'm hungry. All I had was a blood sausage this morning.
Ooh. Let's toast.
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 Cheers, guys. Cheers.
Got a little booty.
Eyes.
Cheers.
Cheers. Okay. Today, you all ready? I have to get the fuck out of this room.
Okay, go, fans, go.
Okay, today we are toasting to this very bizarre phenomenon that's kind of happening, and it's showing up on TikTok.
Hold my fart in. Keep going.
That is not a bizarre phenomenon. It actually kind of is, because that's never happened before. But there's something called fridge-scaping happening, where people are going into their refrigerators and they're designing them.
Oh, so, I watched that on the tubes.
So there is a woman who's kind of like the spirit, or there's a woman
what
who's kind
I
of
think
the
about
pioneer.
Getting into the refrigerator right now, though.
I was like, I think
because we're that
fit.
Hot. Because we're that. She's like, I am small. Small but mighty. There is a woman who's kind of the head of this trend, and she called her fridge Fridgerton. The iterations of her fridge. Yeah, good. And she has it
shout
like
Shadow Rhymes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. She has it like all Bridgerton-esque vibes in there. They're putting candles, LED light candles, and certain kind of vases, and they're really designing the fridge. I'm going to show you guys.
Oh, it's so funny when you say candles and you see this. I'm just like, so late at night when you're hungry, you're romantically going down by the refrigerator and opening it up for yourself.
I mean, if it's part of your love, like what?
Everyone look.
See,
I just liked it.
Sweeping the nation. I'm going to line these up tallest to shortest. It's called fridgescaping. Creative types organize and decorate the inside of their refrigerators with all sorts of things you wouldn't normally find in a fridge, like tulips. Picture frames, even sculptures. In this one, the butter has its own little awning.
I'm done.
Surrounded by flowers.
I don't like it.
It's stressing me out.
It is, right? Because where are you supposed to put the food?
I'm gonna show you guys.
A part of it is like really sweet and cute. Another part of it's like, where are you gonna put the food? I feel like there's steak that's gonna go bad because there's no place for it to look cute in there.
And let's keep it real, the refrigerators now, unless you are an extreme millionaire, they are small on the inside. You're taking up a lot of space with a bust and tulips. I'm sorry,
extreme millionaire.
I will say Denzel and Pauletta's refrigerator is
huge.
We've only been there together.
That
refrigerator growing up, we'd be like,
all three of us could fit in it. Understood.
Yes.
So you guys,
and ours will go.
The dogs don't like the wacky trend. We're saying no to it.
No, but you know what trend I do like in a fridge? When everything has its place. When there's a container.
Organization.
Organization. I like when that's pretty, when everything is color coded. Yeah. But I don't need tulips and a bust of Marie Antoinette in my fridge, bitch. I'm hungry.
That's a lot. And I will say I don't mind like the little Tupperware to like say this is like expires on this date.
Yeah.
And like everything that expires on this date is like in this area. Mm-hmm. Or like having a little something that says like eat this by or like eat me first or something like that kind of stuff I don't mind.
That's
just
cute.
As long as it's just like not too extreme. But I don't judge anyone else who wants to do it. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'll judge. Yeah. Don't worry. I'll judge. That's my duty.
Well, no.
Kinda. I'm on the internet. I can judge.
Okay,
that's
fine.
What we do here.
Comment down below if you like fridgescaping.
Judge them.
And Megan, you've been a dream.
Thank What's you your middle name, Megan?
Monique.
Megan Monique.
Good.
MMG and MVM.
Oh, and RSP.
PM. ECT.
Oh my God.
Bye, y'all.
We got all the letters, bitch. All the letters.